This is our second Sunday with our New Year sermon series, I Choose, making decisions that move our life forward in the right direction in the new year. And that is why we came here on this cold January day. Our choices matter. The decision we are making today determines who we become and what we are able to do tomorrow. Again, our choices matter. And at some point, we realize that this is true. We are the sum total of all the decisions that we have made. Last Sunday, on the first Sunday of the new year, I challenged you to choose discipline over regret, adopting the known to be Abraham Lincoln's definition of discipline. We understand the discipline to be choosing between what we want now and what we want most. Which one is a good and right thing to do? It is choose what we want most. And when we discern and focus on what we want most, we can make a right decision on the subsequent questions. What do I need to do? What do I need to choose to do now in order to achieve what I want most? In making such a big decision, right, we are not helpless. Learning from Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, we take courage to turn to God and to ask God for help. We also know that we need one another to hold us accountable in grace and love as we choose the pain of discipline over the pain of regret. Then the strength and hope through Jesus Christ will be surely ours, I believe. Today, we consider another big decision. And before we dive into it, I want you to imagine something. Imagine, okay? Start using your imagining radar or ability. So imagine that everyone likes you. Imagine that everyone approves of you. No matter what you wear, everyone says, oh, you look beautiful. And no matter what you do, everyone applauds you and loves you. You like it, don't you? Then, now, what? Wake up! Wake up! Come to the reality. Listen, no matter what you do, you cannot please everyone, right? You and I are still in honeymoon period, right? I feel welcome and loved by you. But at the same time, I know very well that I cannot get everyone happy and satisfied with my ministry here. It will come along after, later, at some point, that I might feel low-spirited while I will be saying to myself, oh, it seems that person doesn't like me. Oh, that person keeps away from me and no response at all to my sermon, that person. Well, then it'll be a time when I needed to remind myself of this. The problem is usually not that everyone likes us, but that our sense of value and self-worth is controlled by how many people like us. And this is a real challenge in the social media world. As for me, I can say this, when my sense of value and self-esteem is being determined by the number of likes, shares, or comments, there is a problem. We are then choosing what? Popularity over purpose. Take a look at this video clip.
Good evening. What may I get started for you?
I'm thinking about getting the approval of others. Should I? Oh, definitely. I'll have that.
Excellent choice. It comes with 2,000 Facebook likes. And for you, madam?
Well, I will also have the approval of others, but on a bigger, much nicer plate than hers. Can I get the likes and followers?
Of course. two popularity specials, one with comparison and one without. I'll get that started for you and also bring out a basket of selfie sticks.
Yes, please.
Yeah, with a basket of selfie sticks. Yeah, I will get popularity. Yeah. What? Does this speak nothing to you because you are not a social media person? Okay, then listen. The tendency to pay attention to people's approval is not just because social media is a huge and driving thing in our culture now. More than that, it is because we are a social animal. And here is a confession. I used to smoke. And I learned to smoke when I was in middle school. Oh boy, right? And it was all about my wants to look cool to others and to become more popular, especially among a certain group of girls. In that group, there was one girl who said she liked me, and then she wanted to hang out more with me, and she smoked by then. And so I learned to smoke, and she and I, with other friends of ours, used to smoke behind the school building. Ooh. Yes, I wanted to be popular. Here, may I use we language? We wanted to be popular. So we crave people's likes and approvals. Maybe there is nothing wrong with it, but popularity is fleeting. And it does not bring lasting and ultimate fulfillment. A popularity-driven life means what? Constantly comparing ourselves to others and wanting to keep in step and ending up to give ourselves over and over into a swinging sense of self-esteem, in that way, low level of sense of our own identity. Imagine this again. When you are with your friends in a social gathering or with colleagues in the workplace, they start talking about church. And then the casual talk grows to the point where most people seem to agree that church thing is outdated and obsolete. And they ridicule people who still go to church. Yes, obviously this day going to church is unpopular. Then, how are you acting there? A big problem with choosing to be popular above all things is that we often do this at the expense of a greater purpose in life. Our purpose in life is not to be popular. Being popular is never a God-given purpose. We Christians believe that our purpose is found in Jesus. We cannot trade following Jesus for following the Joneses, to keep up with the Joneses, and to get the approval and affection of people, right? Pastor Craig Groeschel, who gave me an idea for this series through his life.church website, says this: living for the approval of people keeps you from the purpose of God. Let me say again. Living for the approval of people keeps you from the purpose of God. And when I read it for the first time, one scripture reading came to my mind. It was Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Not this one, but the one that Brooke read for us. Let me read it again, that verse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. And this is one of the scripture passages that I used to recite from heart when I was in my early 20s, the period in my life when a sense of identity, self-esteem, and direction in life was being shaped. I saw myself Yes, tending to look for life meaning in what others would think about me. And I have learned that the question to ask myself at each decision-making moment is this, rather than what would people think about me, what would God say if I made this decision? And I say the scripture passage was in the Galatians, and it is Apostle Paul's words. And who was Paul? By the time he reached his early 20s, he had studied to become a Pharisee, a Jewish sect that strictly observed religious law. He, by the way, by then he went by his old name, what? Saul. He counted himself among the many religious leaders in Jerusalem who were not happy at all with the growing numbers of Christ followers. The religious leaders in Jerusalem regarded the followers of Jesus as pollutant or infectors to the purity of their Judaism religion. Saul had obsessions with persecuting Christ followers. He witnessed the stoning of the first Christian martyr, Stephen, and he arrested both men and women and admitted complicity in some of their death. Why did he do those persecutions and harassments against Christ followers? We cannot say for sure why, but many speculate that his ambitions led him to gain recognition in this matter. He wanted to be more popular among the nice-looking people, among the leaders. One day, Saul was on his way to Damascus from Jerusalem to secure more rest. It was when the Christ appeared to him in a light that literally blinded him. The voice of Jesus asked him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" "Who are you, Saul? Who are you?" Saul asked. "I'm Jesus." Jesus said, and then he continued. The risen Christ in vision continued to say, "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you for this purpose, to appoint you as my servant and witness of what you have seen and what I will show you." Now, blind, but told of God's purpose for him, Saul went to Damascus to fast and pray. 3 days later, a Christ follower named Ananias visited Saul to heal him. Yes, it was God who had come to Ananias in a vision to impart this mission. With his eyes restored and with a new sense of life purpose given and with a new name, Paul, which meant small and humble in Latin, this man never saw the world in the same way again. He said, actually, not just in words, but in deeds, over and over, this word that we read now in Ephesians, it is in Christ we find out who we are and what we are living for. Yes, he wrote over and over in his letter in the New Testament about his choice of purpose over popularity, his choice to live with purpose in Christ. Why is it important? Why is naming our understanding of life purpose and leading a purpose-driven life important? To answer this question, I'm going to give you three thoughts about power in purpose. Purpose, number one, diminish distraction. Number two, purpose pushes us through the pain. Number three, purpose empowers us to live fully and love generously. Although I don't feel much need to explain each of these further, but let me spend about 9 minutes with these thoughts to apply better our understanding of these into our lives. Let's begin for the number one with this video clip.
So Josh, you going for our Drive Safe and Save discount?
Yep, using the app
driving safe.
You wanna go? You wanna go, bro?
Hey, do not mess with my discount.
Woo!
You can save up to 30%.
Let's go!
Nice to meet you. Go get him, Tiger.
Woo!
Sounds like you've got this.
Yeah.
You got
definitely.
This because you are determined with your purpose,
safe
right?
From State Farm.
In our lives, we are distracted. In our lives, we are tempted. In our world, many things try to pull us away from God, from the life that God wants for us, the life we too want to live as Christ followers. The gospel reading for today is the story of Jesus being tempted by the devil. Who is devil? What is the devil doing? I write devil and I read it as the great confuser, great distractor. Yes, that is his nickname, actually. Actually, what the origin of the word devil, which is in Latin, diabolos, means first, dia means around through, and bolos means to throw. So diabolos means one who throws things about. In other words, one who stirs things up and gets us distracted and muddled. Devil does his best to pull us off from the path that God calls us to go. One easy way to make us be distracted and forget who we are and where we are going is through making us keep comparing ourselves with others. And that is one of the biggest distractions in our life. Why do I not have while they have? Why am I not there where they are? Why am I loved this much by my parents or my children while she or he is loved and cared for by her or his family too much? Then what? Not only do we lose our heart and lose our focus, we also go astray and come off the track. There's a power in purpose. Purpose diminished distraction. Second thing is this. Purpose pushes us through the pain. You may be today in your life at a circumstance where you needed to hear this. Purpose pushes you through the pain. So, whenever you have a purpose and are focused on it, I believe that it will give you a motivation to keep you moving on, going, even when things hurt. Everyone knows, right? No pain, no gain. And what a short and sweet, what a short and bitter sentence of truth. The pathway to your purpose is always paved with pain. Don't think that you are an exception. It was for Abraham and Sarah, it was right. For Paul, it was for Mary, and it was certainly for Jesus. And the reason why we remember those names still is because they chose purpose over popularity and found the strength and power in purpose to make it through all the challenges of life. And I'm thinking of childbirth, which I don't have. Over which I don't have any first-hand experience, right? To be fair, I say. But it's one thing I have a witness of which the great level of pain was paid off at the end, right? Right? And okay, at this point, I wanted to show two pictures that depict the drastic contrast between one mom in pain of labor and the same mom after childbirth in joy and gratitude. So I searched for those pictures on the internet. Then you know what? I couldn't find pictures of a mom crying in pain during childbirth. Meanwhile, it was very easy to find pictures of a happy mom holding her newborn baby in her bosom. So, what can I do? So I decide to search through my wife's pictures. And here is what I came up with. Not the picture. Don't expect the picture. But the realization that it's the same in her album. No picture of her crying in pain during labor. Although it was real. It was very real enough to have her look grumpy. Yelling at her husband. But I found many good pictures of her and of our family with a happy face, all like after the safe childbirth. Perhaps it's because, like Claire said to me, it's not appropriate to post miserable looking, pain-bearing mom's pictures on the internet. But I have come to realize that there is a more important reason why. Way more pictures of a happy and grateful mom after childbirth. It's because that's all about the pain of labor and delivery at the end. And all moms among us, and you have my respect, and you teach us the truth that purpose pushes us through the pain. And when we recognize this is what I am supposed to do, pain cannot stop us. Opposition does not deter us. Ridicule does not slow us down. And this is what purpose does. Purpose diminishes distraction, and purpose pushes us through the pain. These two things that purpose do in our lives are actually what we can hear even outside the church from a self-help speaker. We Christians know that most importantly, choosing purpose empowers us to live fully as God intends for us and love wastefully as we receive such love from Jesus. Live fully and love wastefully is at the heart of the conclusions of all the questions about God and human that the Bishop Spong had. And let me read again Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. It is in Christ we find out who we are and what we are living for. Living with purpose, with the knowledge of why we live, goes hand in hand with our understanding of who we are and whose we are. Christ is our answer to the question, whom do we belong to and what do we live for? Christ is the way, the life, and the truth. One question of identity and life purpose. Actually, every question that we have over our identity and life purpose is answered in His life, death, and resurrection. We read today, Jesus says, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve only Him. We also remember that when Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? His answer was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And why do we have to worship and love God? Is it because God wants to show us favor unless we give something to God and flatter Him? Actually, this is a kind of language people say with their wrong understanding of human worship and love of God. The purpose, the purpose of our life is to love God and to love others as God calls us to do. Please know that this is because God wants to be in loving relationship with us. Not one way, but both ways. Loving relationship where we experience God's presence and desire what God desires. Choosing purpose over popularity, it means recognize, I want you to listen this. While there is a value in being liked by people, there is a greater value in being loved by people and living in response to that love. What does this mean to you? to your daily life in the year of 2020? What are daily purpose of your life? As you know, that what is the big P purpose of your life, which is to live out God's given purpose, to love God, to love others, to love more fully, deeply, and even wistfully, just as God loves us that way through Jesus. Okay, what are daily small purposes of your life? It may be to be less judgmental to others, or to nurture a spirit of gratitude more, or to be more intentional in recognizing and appreciating God's presence each day, or to cherish God's given gift, family, and marriage, or to be more courageous in being a voice of Jesus in our hurting world, or to practice responsible stewardship of God's creations. You say, what are your daily purpose of life? My beloved Lodi families and friends, where do you feel today God called you to? Choose purpose over popularity. Choose God's love over people's approval. Choose to be a blessing to others before you want them to be a blessing to you. Again, there is a value in being liked by people, but there is a greater value in being loved by God and love in response to that love. Choose to follow Jesus. Choose Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.